Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 332, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Forever settled in the heavens, thy word, O Lord, shall firmly stand. Thy faithfulness shall never fail. The earth abides at thy command. And what follows, Psalter 332, the first three stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Peter 2, the verses 1 through 12. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter 2, the first 12 verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you with strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee for the second time on this thy holy day of rest to gather us and our dear children with the walls of thy house, placing ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. And may it please thee to grant an impression of all of thy goodness and of thy patient long-suffering, that thou dealeth not as we deserve, for if thou would do so, thou would have to pass us by in this evening. But, O Lord, then we humbly beg of thee that thou may dwell richly amongst us. Then thou was granted in this morning hour that the sacrament of holy baptism may be administered, and then by renewal we commend those parents with their children unto thee. And now when thou granteth it, then on the coming Lord's Day, then the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then in this evening hour, an hour of examination, an hour of preparation, we humbly ask thee that thy word may be blessed. Ah, Lord, O King of the Church, may it please thee to place arrows of love and of conviction upon thy holy bow and shoot them into the hearts of the king's enemies, and then it shall all become real, that they are not prepared to meet thee, standing outside with their sin and guilt. And then it shall be asked, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then they shall become seekers. And then thou shalt also grant, by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, to become finders. Lord, spare that we deceive not our poor souls, building upon feelings, emotions, a text, a change. Matters need to be experienced by the grace of God, by thy Spirit, in our hearts, that we become the poor lost sinner, and that room is made in our hearts for that precious mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thou knowest who are thine, and to that end, then we simply and humbly beg of thee that thou may bring to thy table those that have a divine right, those that have received that wedding garment, and given arms to embrace the same, and those that are missing it, that they may remain in their seats, our Lord. On the coming Sabbath day, may it be in this evening already, that hearts may begin to burn, and that on the coming Lord's day, thy house may be a Bethel indeed, that thy hungry and thirsty people may be fed with the bread of life and with those everlasting flowing waters. And Lord, thou knowest the life of thy true children. What a questions, what a riddles, and what a strife there can be. Thou hast a people upon the earth that must receive everything from above, and what comes from above that shall return unto thee in true and humble gratitude. Do bless thy holy word in the church on the Sabbath day, the confession of faith class, the catechism classes, the house visitations. Do bless thy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou graciously grant thy help to all those that labor in the same, and their empty places that need to be filled. May it please thee to provide. We commend unto thee the established churches. Remember our theological school, the student, the instructors. May they be taught by thee. Remember the persecuted church, so many places upon this earth. We commend unto thee the beloved for the Father's sake. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember and help Bible translators, those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth. And bless also thy holy word that may be sent into the prisons. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Then by renewal we commend unto thee him who hopes in the future to be the president of our southern neighbor by renewal. Remember him who shall be the vice president, those that stand at a side. The opposition, the enmity is great. Wilt thou place underneath thy everlasting arms? May thy word be their guide, and be mindful also of their never-dying souls. Lord, remember also our poor nation. Prime Minister, with those that stand at his side, thou could open their eyes, that they would be given to see. And when that would take place, then it would be heard, would become evident, and then there would come that desire to rule this nation according to thy holy word. Remember all the provinces, all the premiers also of this province. May they be given to open thy word and bow their knees. Remember the governments of the different cities, of the towns, also of this town. Then thou wish yet left many good and precious things. Amongst us thou wast not dealt according to our sins. And then a day of tomorrow, is a day that has been set aside, that our country may pause, and given to remember and to reflect upon the many that have given their lives for the liberties which we may still enjoy. And we live in a time that many of those liberties are being squandered away. Lord, do bless our community with the work of thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Then we commend unto thee the many temporal needs. O Lord, do continue to remember, to uphold, and to comfort all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children to the grave, and other dear ones. Remember the orphans, and out of that mourning, another sanctified mourning may be born. And that is because of our sins, because of a separation and of a seeking. Do remember all the sick and afflicted amongst us. There are serious and grave concerns, different ones in a special way, under the physician's care. Oh, we may humbly ask thee to remember, so far that it may please thee, to bless the means, and above all sanctify the callings. Remember the handicapped ones, the crosses, the burdens. Do bless the family circles, that love may abound, and that thy word may have a central place. Do remember all of our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, their residents, those that may care for them, those that may still go in and out, where the infirmity shall only increase. Above all things, do save their never dying souls when they are still unsaved. Then an old husband and wife, they hope to commemorate in this week, that thou wast spared them on the pathway of holy matrimony for 62 years. 'Tis the couple in our midst that is longest united in holy matrimony. Ah, do grant them a good day, a day with a humble and a broken heart. And could it be a day with a visit from above? Wilt thou continue to provide for our daily bread? And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Do open thy precious testimony. Open the heavens. Open our mouth. Open our ears. And open our hearts. Ah, do go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, and magnify thy wonders of free and sovereign grace. Do work from generation to generation, and impress it continually upon our hearts that we have absolutely nothing to plead upon, but, Lord, thou hast declared, thou hast given unto us and our children the precious gift of thy holy word, where it may be declared the way back to the Father heart of God through thy beloved Son, by the work of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Magnify then thy wonders in the hearts of young and old. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 427, the stanzas 5 through 7. The stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone, and what follows. Psalter 427, the stanzas 5, 6, and 7. Thank you. My fellow travelers, to that never-ending and all-decisive eternity, when the Lord shall grant it on the coming Lord's Day, and then by renewal the King's table, the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. It is a holy table instituted by the Holy King for a holy purpose and for a holy people. No, not of themselves the bride has said, I am black, but comely. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that know of those times when they were given to see the holiness of the table and the holiness of the elements, that they have sat in their bench with fear and with much trembling. And yet a people with a jealousy for the true people of God, a people with the love of God shed abroad in the heart. And now concerning the holiness of that table, then it is so necessary and so profitable that for the true people of God, that it remains that holy table, and that shall be experienced more so when the church is given to experience by continuance, let us say it simply, Romans 7, with that strife against that triple-headed enemy. And now Christ has commanded, as we read in the Word of God concerning the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 28 and 29, As so let a man examine himself, and eat of that bread and drink of that wine. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth damnation unto himself. And that command, not necessarily in the context of the supper, but we read of the same words concerning examining and proving ourselves in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And in the scriptures, then we have the examples when there were special meetings with the Lord, that there was a people that was given to sanctify and prepare themselves. And now concerning what is necessary, concerning the Holy Supper of the Lord, then what profound and what clear instruction that we also have in our Heidelberg Catechism concerning the work of the Lord in our hearts. And the Lord has a people upon the earth, that there may be those times, that people are given to examine themselves oftentimes, because a mistake concerning our soul, that is an eternal mistake. And now concerning the true work of the Lord, then in Lord's Day 33, concerning the mortification of the old man, it is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins and more to hate and flee from them. And then concerning the quickening of the new man, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. And now concerning the Holy Supper, when the Lord works, it is all through Christ. But Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. And to that end necessary, a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then further, then in question 81, for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? For those who were truly sorrowful for their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, and that their remaining infirmities are covered by his passion and death, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened and their lives more holy. But hypocrites and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts eat and bring judgment to themselves with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Peter 2, the verses 4 and 5. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Our text words speak of the spiritual stones of the temple of Jesus Christ. with forethoughts in the first place, the foundation for the spiritual stones. Secondly, the exercises of the spiritual stones. Thirdly, the placement of the spiritual stones. And in the fourth place, the thanksgiving of these spiritual stones. The spiritual stones of the temple of Jesus Christ. The foundation, the exercises, the placement, and the thanksgiving of the spiritual stones. Beloved congregation, this epistle of Peter that is addressed, we can read it in the first verse to the strangers, and then we have also read it together out of verse 11, strangers and pilgrims. That is a fruit of the work of the Spirit in the heart. Then we become God seekers. Does not mean congregation, that people do not have trouble. Oh, they can be so busy. Think of Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust with a prayer. Quicken me according to thy word. That is now a mark of grace. Have we now become a stranger and a pilgrim upon this world? Have the weight of our never dying soul, has that been experienced? Have we learned, have we been exercised with it? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his never dying soul? And when we become strangers and pilgrims, then that is seen. Then that is a people that does not put their pins, and it is true. Oh, what a struggles, what a trouble that people can have. Nevertheless, let us mention Christian out of Pilgrim's Progress. You know who that was, boys and girls, right? That was a man that has left the city of destruction and that has set his face Zionwards, has experienced wonderful things. He received a companion by the name of Faithful, and on their travels, then they were called upon, did not choose. There had been a road around it, boys and girls. Then Christian and Pilgrim would have traveled around that town. But that road to the celestial city, that went through Vanity Fair. And then the inhabitants of that city, they were given to see that they were strangers and pilgrims. They spoke the language of Canaan. That is the language, boys and girls, of the people of God. In the second place was seen by their dress, and in the third place by the wares they have purchased. And now our text that speaks of the temple many times, think of the book of Hebrews. Then the apostle has made many references to the temple in the Old Testament, and that it had much spiritual instruction. Oh, the temple had all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. The temple itself, the furniture, the priests, their clothing, the sacrifices, the blood that has flowed. And for those true strangers and pilgrims, they receive a love for the temple, for the house of God. Think of Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the courts of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 26, verse 8. The place where the Lord on earth dwelleth. That is a mark of grace. When the Lord works, then her place shall be occupied. Of course, can be lawful reasons, but when the Lord works, maybe formerly, what we thought was lawful becomes unlawful, and when there is a desire and a hunger and a thirst, then we shall do everything to be present. And when there is not that desire present, the church learns, all must be given from above, then they shall do it in obedience to the commandment of the king, because Samuel has said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. And why do that people? The true people of God have those holy desires because they are given to experience that in the house of God, the Lord has promised a special presence and that they have experienced, and there they may hear and taste of the wonderful things of the Lord, shall be satisfied with the fatness of his house. One thing have I desired, to behold the beauty. And what is now the beauty? Those are the wonders of free and sovereign grace. And now in this epistle, Peter has already spoken of wonderful things. 1 Peter 2, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, only hope for us and our children. And then in verse 3, then he is given to sing the praises of his God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance undefiled, passeth not away. And what then? Peter has learned it. Not only a beginning, kept by the power of God, and then for the instruction of his child, has spoken of a needs be trial of your faith, more precious than gold, though tried with fire, found to the honor and glory of God. Then in the furtherance of the chapter, then he is stressed sanctification as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Thus those are the fruits and the proof of the work of God. Samuel Davis, a very godly minister whom the Lord has taken to himself in 1761, only 37 years old. His ministry was richly blessed, was given to separate the precious from the vile. Then he is stated in a certain sermon that there can never be a real hope of the work of God in the heart when there is no evidence of a practical repentance and reformation. And now the apostle, he has spoken of the wonderful things of the Lord, the leading of his people, to whom coming, then he is given to speak of that precious cornerstone, chosen of God and precious. Thus the characteristics of that stone, the foundation, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read the two epistles of Peter, then we find that word precious 7 times. And then we read of a precious faith concerning the precious promises and that precious blood of that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And concerning the Lord's Supper, then that knowledge is necessary, but that it does not begin therewith. And now concerning the cornerstone, then we read, disallowed indeed of men. We read in John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. A cornerstone that is chosen of God already in that never begun eternity. Oh, he is called the cornerstone of his church, a stone from everlasting to everlasting, a stone that is durable, a stone that is unmovable, and a stone that granteth safety, it shall never be shaken. Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And then we read, also a living stone. Do we not read in Revelations 1 verse 18 that the Apostle Paul in a vision has seen him who was dead but is alive and is alive forevermore? Then further, he is called the chief cornerstone. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then when our text words speak of the spiritual temple, the cornerstone, then we must think of the building of the temple of Solomon. And then we read in Zechariah 4 verse 7 that there was also a headstone. And that cornerstone as the foundation of the temple, and that crowning stone that is one can never be separated. And the Jewish writers even tell us that with the building of the temple of Solomon, then the hewers, they have sent right at the beginning, the corner, the foundation stone, a very important stone, but at the same time they have sent the headstone, the crowning stone. But at the beginning, then those builders did not have a place for that crowning stone, and they have put it to the side, disallowed by men. But then at the end, for the finishing of the table of the temple, they have inquired. And then they have seen that stone that was put to the side. It was the crowning stone. And we read in Zechariah 4, verse 7, that they have said, "Grace, grace be unto it." Thus the foundation of the temple. And now, congregation, oh, what a blessing, what a wonder it is that there is that cornerstone and also that headstone. Lord, shall never forsake the work of his own hands. But what is now necessary that we, by the grace of God, as a spiritual stone, that we are placed upon the foundation, as we read in Ephesians 2, the verses 20 and 21, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord. And now it may be declared, congregation, that the temple is not yet finished. May believe it's far done. It's not finished. There are still stones that must and shall be brought forth, wrought upon by the Spirit, instructed, uncovered, receive that true saving faith, lively exercises, because we read of lively stones, not dead stones, but of lively stones, and that by Christ, that they shall be part of that temple, joined together by a true saving faith. And then it is needful that we place ourselves where the Lord sends those hewers to gather those stones, and that is by word and by spirit. The Lord has promised that shall not return void unto him. Little stones, boys and girls, bigger young people, older ones, older friends, we are never too old, but how needful that it takes place. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. May the Lord impress upon our hearts when we were unconverted what a terrible thing that is. Because those matters, because congregation, we need more than a change. We need a renewal. We need more than emotion, feeling, a text. We need to experience matters in our heart. Because that chief, that cornerstone, his name is called Jesus. He has come to save his people from their sins. Have we now become a sinner? Have we become a great sinner? When our text speaks of coming, because we read, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. The Father has declared with his baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." Our second thought, the exercises of the spiritual stones. When we think of the building of the temple, we read thereof in 2 Kings 5 that there were 70,000 bears, 80,000 hewers, and 3,600 overseers. And then Solomon, together with Hiram, because those stones, they were at a great distance from the temple, on the hills, the mountains of Lebanon, a great distance. And then Solomon, then he has sent those laborers for a special work. And we must remember that the Temple of Solomon, it was a plan that was given by David to a son. So the Father has also his chosen church promised to his dear Son as a reward upon the meritorial work in the state of his humiliation and in the state of his exaltation. Then those hewers are being sent forth that the church may be gathered. Oh, do we not read in Isaiah 43 verse 6, "Say to the south, hold not back, and from the north, oh, the sons and daughters shall come." And in verse 13, "I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it?" And so the King of the church, he has sent many hewers forth with a divine commission. Think of Matthew 28, verse 19, "Teaching all nations, baptizing them." Oh, in the beginning, only 12 apostles, but the number has increased. And they were sent forth to preach law and gospel to dead sinners, sinners that have never asked after the Lord, sinners where I read in Romans 8, verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against the Lord. And all those hewers, they can become very discouraged. But when we think of those labors under Solomon, then we also read that they were well supplied. Wheat, oil, and wine. And so the Lord grants unto those hewers that they may taste of the bread of life, to experience the wonderful things of the Lord. Oh, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the calling of those hewers, as with a Paul, as I read in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, "I determine not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that unto poor and needy sinners." But they are also given oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, given that liberty and that love to proclaim the wonderful things of the Lord. Thus wheat, oil, and wine. And that wine, that refers to joy. We have heard it in this morning. The Bible uses many types and many examples then of that sower. Then many times the sower weeps. when they are given to preach to the mountains. Because those stones, they were fastened in those mountains of Lebanon, many covered with dirt, and then under the preaching, they can remain so still and so hard. Then how discouraged the hearer can become. But the Lord has promised that the labor shall be blessed. And then the hearers are given to rejoice. Oh, the example is not perfect, because boys and girls, you can understand that those workmen, they had to have their picks and whatever instruments they needed to loosen those stones out of the mountains of Lebanon, and then also the cedar trees, which point to the self-righteous and to the proud that need to be felled. But when there may come a little movement. Oh, think of Psalm 72, verse 16, that a handful of corn upon the mountains, and that the mountains shall shake like the Lebanon, thus rejoicing when there comes some movement in those stones, because they need to be loosened from that mountain. Lord's Day 7, we have had the example of engrafting. So those hewers, according to specifications for those stones, they have loosened them. Can also be, of course, when there is a little movement with those stones, but when there is a confession without repentance and holiness, when those stones can still walk according to the ways of the world, then those hewers with their expectations, then they can become so downcast. But, oh, those hewers, they come not with a pick and with an axe, but they come with the sword of God's word. As we read in Hebrews 4, verse 12, and the Lord has promised to bless his word. And oh, when that takes place, then those stones, by the work of the Spirit, then they are loosened from that mountain. They are not on the foundation yet. It's a difference. Let us say it now already. Ah, the Lord has a people upon the earth who may believe they have experienced wonderful things. A stone that has been loosened from the mountain, from the world. A separation has come. But now those stones, they are not yet in Jerusalem upon the foundation. And there is a people that understand it. And now concerning the experience of those stones that have been loosened, that is such an astonishing and such a wonderful work, such a mysterious work. Oh, it can seem to be such a strange work. In congregation, let us always remember there must be a beginning. Not saying that every child of God knows exactly when that beginning was, but they do know that it has become different. And Lord's Day 33, that shall not be a strange matter. And when we are loosened from that mountain, Oh, then the Spirit shows us that distance, because the mountains of Lebanon, they were a great different distance from Jerusalem. Ah, the Lord has a people. Oh, that distance, that distance. Then what a tears are wept. Let us first sing. Psalter 111, the first three stanzas. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. And what follows? Psalter 111, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
to whom coming as unto a living stone, ye also as lively stones, and those hewers, they cannot loosen those stones. We read in Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By nature, none will come. All may come, and by the grace of God, there shall be a people that shall come. And now the exercises of the Church of God. Then before in our text, where there is spoken of a coming by true saving faith, receive the revelation exercises concerning the dear Son of God for the salvation of the soul. Then Peter has first spoken of that beginning, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, when the Lord works congregation, then sin becomes sin. We are given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, but that not only in beginning, in that first verse we read in our form, that it is clearly stated concerning the celebration of the Lord's Supper, that all hatred and envy must be put aside. And now concerning those coming stones, then Peter, in verse 2, speaks of that beginning. And then he compares that beginning, those stones that have been loosened, that have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, uncovered by the preaching of the law. Oh, there are times that those stones begin to tremble before the Lord and before His holy law, exercised with His justice, also with His goodness. Then He is given to describe those exercises as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Begins not with the Lord's Supper. Our boys and girls can understand it. When a baby is born in a family, then you do not give them bread and meat, but they need milk. And such a newborn child, they are not born talking. It's the nominal Christendom. But what does a newborn child do? Boys and girls, they cry. And they desire the sincere milk of the Word. Those exercises are not strange. The longing and the desiring for the living God and everything that is connected therewith, and that shall become evident in our lives. Then the Scriptures, God's house, as hungry little children, they do not only cry. Sometime it is surprising with a little child, after they are born, that there is already a smile upon their lips. Seems sometime even when they are sleeping. Ah, those newborn babes. That is not a strange matter to them. Then even walking over the world with their heavenly high guilt and with that missing exercised with God's justice and with His goodness, then they are given to experience the blessedness of the service of the Lord. Then there shall be a fleeing and hating from sin, because those stones, they shall be hewed out and they shall be separated from that holy mountain. Then those newborn babes, then how hungry they are. And then under the sincere milk of the Word, dependent upon the Spirit, then they are given to grow. Oh, what a blessing to be part of the family of God. Even the smallest child, they are part of the family. They resemble their parents, placed in the will, have the privileges of the family circle, and what else? Those little children, how much they receive. Same thing in the family circle, right, boys and girls? When you have a baby brother or sister, many times they receive the most care. When you have a family circle, the smallest one, many times is served before an older one. All a beautiful type of the living family of Jesus Christ, but they need to grow. And it is written before concerning those stones being placed upon the foundation, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Thus for those children, then we do not give them bread. The Spirit needs to instruct His children concerning the saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Because Christ has said concerning the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. Of we have stated God's people know of a time when they were given to see that table so holy and they so black outside, and yet with a holy jealousy and a love and a prayer, a sigh and a cry concerning the precious things of the Lord. And then it is necessary, we read that in Hebrew 5, two different verses, the verses 12 and 14, that it speaks of strong meat. And that strong meat, that is Christ and Him crucified. And then the child needs to grow. The Lord willing, on Thursday evening we can continue, because our text speaks of those lively stones in the mountains of Lebanon. There's a great distance from Jerusalem. But now it is the work of the Spirit. All those stones, they need to be shaped to the specifications, because we read that in the temple there must be no noise, must be quiet. Those stones, they are given to experience much. And that by the Spirit, they may be brought to Jerusalem a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Let's not begin with it. All young and old needs to be a beginning. And when there is no beginning, oh, ask the Lord, my unconverted fellow travelers, and not to remain a child. The child needs to grow. And we have heard a few weeks out of 2 Peter 1, the verses 5 through 8, the calling of the church, and that we become not barren but fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it concerns the precious cornerstone who was given himself, taking the sins of his church upon him, that the church may be set free. And Christ has said to that people, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Few words to speak. Well, to grant the application and the blessing. Well, to now watch over us in the week we have begun. The mothers in the home with the children, at work, on the way, at school. Well, to remember this week the catechism classes, consistory meeting, and bring us once more up to thy house. Well, thou keep us under thy good care and kind protection. And Lord, then we commend unto thee our brother elder and his wife, a solemn, a special week in their lives. When our brother elder, closer by hospital, heart procedure, may it be blessed. Wilt thou help? May he experience that thou knoweth of him. And his dear wife, scheduled for heart surgery in a larger hospital, guide the hands of the physician. Show thy mercy, and may the callings be sanctified. Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening to those that need the same. Remember in the day of tomorrow, when the communities hope to come together, to remember the fallen, those that have sacrificed so much, have sacrificed all for the liberties we enjoy. Remember all those that work in emergency departments and those that are called to labor in the night watches for the sick and the elderly. Bring us now safely to our homes. Pardon us of all of our sins, also of the imperfect performance of the duties of this day. It all needs to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, our Lord. May many of the chosen stones, may they be loosened, may they be quickened, may they be enlivened. And where thou hast begun that good work, oh, that distance, that distance. Oh, a people that is given to weep over their sins. But, oh, it is the work of the Spirit to bring them nigh through the blood, that by true saving faith they may be placed upon that foundation. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 384. the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye does see. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, my ways are known to thee and what follows. And the consistory wishes to announce, in addition to the midweek preparatory service, that there shall be catechism classes tomorrow evening. 384, 1, 2, and 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.